You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Cherkent. And as we just heard in a concluded news conference, House Democrats are moving forward with two articles of impeachment against President Trump, one being an abuse of power and the other being obstruction of Congress. And now this comes 77 days after they launched a formal inquiry into President Trump's withholding aid to Ukraine and requesting to investigate a political rival. How do you feel at this moment? Do you support or oppose the work of the House on the impeachment inquiry? We're at 800-642-1234. Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. His research areas include American politics and judicial politics and behavior. Tim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good to be with you.
What do you make of this moment and what you just heard out of House Democrats?
Well, it's certainly not surprising. It seemed to be for quite a while that the House was headed towards some sort of at least articles of impeachment. We still have to see how the vote's going to go, but I would think that they will ultimately impeach President Trump on one or both of the articles that are announced. What's a little surprising to me is that there were only two articles announced so far, at least. And the two that were announced, that they're a little concerning in the sense that even though Chairman Nadler, when he was announcing them, said that they're high crimes and misdemeanors, and certainly there's a big argument over whether or not you actually have to have the person being impeached have committed a crime. But things like abuse of power and obstruction of Congress are kind of vague, unlike, for example, with Nixon, you had a break-in and a cover-up, and so there's some specific crime there that people could understand. And with Clinton, of course, it was perjury. And here you don't really have that same kind of crime, and it takes more explanation, so it's a little bit harder to piece together what's going on here. And that's certainly the challenge that Democrats will have in terms of explaining this to the public. But we also, there's the possibility, as I see, that some news producer in Congress is saying that perhaps the Judiciary Committee will consider adding articles of impeachment once they get to the markup stage. So maybe they will add something beyond those two a little bit more vague offenses.
So you find it quite narrow right now with the two articles, but there is still a lot going on under each of these umbrellas.
Well, yes and no. I mean, okay. You know, again, that's the problem with the idea behind something called abuse of power. What exactly is that? It's not sort of a clear-cut kind of a thing. Now, of course, over the Intelligence Committee and then with under Chairman Schiff and the Judiciary Committee under Chairman Nadler both sort of focused on the Ukraine call and what's going on. And they tried to say, well, what sort of happened before that helps to provide context of their understanding and their narrative as to what that call actually meant. But on the other hand, the Republicans can say, well, look, this witness said this and this witness said that, and this is kind of all what went on in yesterday's hearings. So it's not hard to sort of poke holes in this or at least provide question marks. And the big question is whether those question marks will be enough to convince the public that it's not really appropriate to impeach the president and so forth. I'd also say, too, in terms of the narrowness, meaning that there are just two articles of impeachment, there was some suggestion that maybe if the Judiciary Committee comes out with several articles of impeachment, it might allow some more vulnerable House members, vulnerable Democrats in particular, that they could maybe pick and choose to kind of say, well, you know, we're being a little bit more moderate here. We're being more careful. We thought that this was an appropriate article to impeach, but this one wasn't, you know, that kind of a thing to give them some political cover. But with only two articles of impeachment, it's going to be more difficult for them to do that.
Well, let's take a call now. Dwayne joining us from Weston to start off. Dwayne, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
So for me, like, for them to lock down the call and put it in a secure server after the call, they were panicking. For people to come forward that were listening to the call, you know, just stunned that he would be asking them on the call. So that goes to that right there. And there's other things they should have probably included, like the emoluments clause, enriching himself, just all the things that he's done since he's been president. And, you know, the Republicans used to be like the moral high ground party and then ethical, and they can no longer run on that platform, in my opinion, after they condone this president for the last 3.5 years or whatever.
So Dwayne, what is Dwayne saying here, Tim, is the Republican Party, its image is really tarnished here.
Well, yeah, and that's sort of a different issue than the question of impeachment. If we started talking about, well, okay, Trump did this, and you've got the Emoluments Clause, and people have talked about that. And certainly some members of the House have voted to impeach Trump on a number of things all along. And so that's why, to some extent, this isn't particularly unusual that finally they got to the point where they could find, or at least we don't know yet for sure because they haven't voted on it, but potentially that they've got to the point where they're willing to put it up for a vote for the whole House and see what's going to happen. But, you know, as far as the Republican Party more generally, that's something that certainly a lot of Republicans are unhappy with Trump. And some people will say, well, look, we don't like what Trump's behavior is. But in terms of, you know, overall performance, the economy is doing well at this point, and it doesn't seem that what he's doing has been bad, even though he has been, as some would argue, he's been elected to be a disruptor. And he certainly achieved that particular goal. So, you know, there's a variety of feelings on that. And we'll have to see what happens post-Trump and post-Trump Republican Party, what is actually going to happen, whether Republicans can come together again or whether it's going to be a longer period where sort of Democrats are ascendant.
Talking with Tim Hagel, a political scientist at the University of Iowa, getting your thoughts on the articles coming in today on the impeachment inquiry. Let's go to John now in Minneapolis. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you? I just want to say I think it's a sad day in America when they can impeach a president from one party because the other side does not like him, and then make up evidence on the fly.
What evidence do you see on the fly, John?
Well, they bring in these witnesses, heard her from a friend. You know, they don't have actual people. They have the actual telephone call log that everybody can go to and read it. What they're trying to, like Schiff, he's dishonest from the get-go, and he puts his own spin on everything. He doesn't allow the Republicans to call their witnesses, which it's in their bylaws to do so in an impeachment that they're supposed to be able to call their witnesses. And he doesn't allow that. He shuts them all down when they want to talk, you know, and procedure vote and stuff.
Well, John, thank you for your insights. Tim Hagel, you know, John, not seeing the procedural fairness here in this inquiry.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that certainly Republicans have complained bitterly about. And certainly if you watch the hearings, they complain very hard about it in the Intelligence Committee. And again, yesterday, even in the Judiciary Committee, that they were saying that the chairman of those committees were not following the procedures and so forth, and especially with Schiff's committee, that certain witnesses were not allowed. Yeah, and that's part, and to some extent, that's a problem, going to be a problem for Democrats, not so much the procedural side of things, but it's to the extent that maybe Democrats are wanting to make sure that the narrative sort of gets to the point that they wanted to make it regarding what the phone call to the Ukrainian president was all about. When it comes to a trial in the Senate, then that's when Republicans are going to be able to provide their witnesses, and it's potentially where that then narrative could fall apart. And if it does, then it makes the Democrats look bad. So, you know, there are two reasons why you have the process. One is that you want to be fair to everybody, especially something as important as an impeachment of the president, but also to make sure that it's not going to later undercut your particular case. Now, some would argue that this whole impeachment thing is going to fail. Why are Democrats doing it? And I've heard at least a few people suggest that, well, it's really not about the president, since they assume that he's going to not be convicted in the Senate trial, but it's about the politics of the Senate in terms of maybe trying to flip some vulnerable Republicans to the Democratic side so the Democrats can gain control. Seems kind of a bank shot to me, but, you know, there's always that potential of what's going on here.
Let's bring in Mary now in Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. And what I wanted to say is that I think all of us that are on the side of impeachment, which I am, also being a never-Trumper, completely disagreeing with your previous caller, I believe they gave time for everyone to be able to say what they needed to say, but there are rules and regulations, and with this happening so infrequently, but this time absolutely necessary, I thought they did. I mean, history is going to go down that this is absolutely well done. And that
what makes you say that, Mary?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Yeah, what makes you say that, that this will go down on history well done?
Because, to me, the two articles of impeachment are long overdue. He has been found 45, I call him, because I don't even want to give him the respect of either president or mister, does not deserve the respect because he has no respect for anyone, including the law, including anyone he works with. He will throw anyone under the bus to get what he wants. He was raised this way by his father.
And Mary, this gets us a little bit away from what the focus here. Tim Hagel, I'm wondering, too, somewhat piggybacking off of what Mary is saying, you know, the House tried to subpoena a number of people within the Trump administration, and they couldn't get documents, couldn't get, you know, people to testify. Has that been an issue in this inquiry?
Well, that's basically the obstruction of Congress article that they're going to vote on in committee. The idea that Trump would not provide the witnesses, would not allow them to testify, and so forth. And the problem with that is that twofold. The first is that some of the witnesses they didn't even bother to try to subpoena. John Bolton is one in particular. And the reason that that's important is that those are the folks that might have some actual knowledge of Trump's mindset. That, again, one of the main arguments for Democrats is that Trump was intending to try to get dirt on the Bidens for the 2020 election, whereas in the phone call, it's specifically mentioned corruption regarding the 2016 election. And so that's an important difference. And granted, Biden is involved in both things, both, you know, in the mind of Trump, the idea that he's part of the 2016 corruption, but also, of course, he's potentially a rival for 2020. And the Democrats focus on the 2020, Republicans on the 2016. But the question is what was in Trump's mind?
Well, people we have to pause right there with Tim Hagel at the University of Iowa. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We heard earlier this hour that House Democrats are moving ahead with two articles of impeachment against President Trump, one article being an abuse of power and the other being obstruction of Congress. We're hearing what your reflections are at this moment. Do you support or oppose the work of the House impeachment inquiry? What do you make of what we just heard? We're at 800-642-1234. Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa, and he stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now. Adam joining us from Madison. Hi, Adam.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So this whole thing is kind of, I mean, it seems embarrassing in a lot of ways. I think our country is suffering a blow here publicly across all borders. And, you know, it kind of makes us look a little bit vulnerable. And I think that the, you know, the argument that, okay, here's the president, we all elected him, or, you know, at least some people elected him. And, you know, we really are a divided country from all outside perspectives. And even, you know, even within our own country, within our own families, in some cases, this is a really, you know, a hot moment in politics. But I think the argument that President Trump was elected by people and we should just leave him alone and let him do his job however he might do it is really, really dangerous. And you know, on the other side of that, we also elected all these other officials who are bringing this into a spotlight where we, you know, probably needed to see this publicly, and it probably didn't, you know, couldn't happen behind closed doors, or it wouldn't have had the results that, you know, people who really feel that this is a national security threat are taking these measures to do this because they believe that. And, you know, I'll take my answer off the air.
Adam, thank you. Yeah. Tim Hagel, is this moment making us more vulnerable, making us weaker as a country?
Well, you know, I think that's another one of those questions. It's kind of hard to say. To some extent, we've heard many times that the goals of Russia, in particular Putin, is to divide the United States, that they have tried to sort of foment this kind of division in the United States through elections and other means for a long time. And it's always funny to, in an odd way, to hear that and then hear how much we're fighting among parties, especially the parties that some would argue, usually Republicans would argue, that it's the Democrats that are creating this division in the way that they're going after the president and so forth. On the other hand, I mean, there is something to be said for, as the caller indicated, for wanting to make sure that, okay, maybe Trump is a disruptor, as even I said a few moments ago, and other people use that as a defense. But how far can you take that? That at a certain point we have a government that's supposed to run in a particular way, and people, the public, has expectations. And certainly there are times when sort of breaking down those expectations, finding new ways to do things and to sort of break old habits that may not be the best, is a good thing. But at other times, maybe it's not such a good thing, and maybe it's going to sort of cross a line. And the question is whether it's crossed a line. Democrats think that it has. Republicans, by and large, don't. And that's where we are right now.
Let's bring in Nate now in Milwaukee. Hi, Nate.
Hi, thank you. I look at this and I see this as a real test for Senate Republicans as to if they put loyalty to Trump and their political party over loyalty to their own integrity. And when I read the summary of that phone call, I looked at the number of times Trump encouraged the Ukrainian president to talk to Giuliani, who I saw as somebody willing to be involved in underhanded things.
The president's private attorney, Rudy Giuliani. Go ahead.
And that Trump was credited with getting rid of that U.S. ambassador, who was a person that fought against corruption. And I see Trump as basically promoting at that point corruption and unethical things here and abroad.
So you see, Nate, that the transcript speaks for itself?
I think if you read through the transcript and you realize who the players are, or rather who the people are that are being referred to, it's pretty damning. But you actually have to think about who is he talking about and what kind of things does that person do, good or bad.
Yeah, Nate, thank you. Thanks for the call. Tim Hagel, you know, Nate has read the transcript, and he said the ramifications with what is on the page in the transcript, that really is damning.
Yeah, and other people have read it and thought the opposite. Republicans in general will say, well, look, there's nothing particular here. Democrats will portray that in a variety of ways. We've talked about being a quid pro quo, suggesting that it was extortion and bribery. They kind of went through a couple of different characterizations of that. And the problem for the Democrats is that you can put together a narrative that makes it look really, really bad. But as the caller indicated, that you kind of have to know some of this background. And Democrats presented a fair amount of evidence along those lines and summed it up in yesterday's Judiciary Committee hearing. But then when you hear the other side say, all right, let's start taking a closer look at this. For example, with the ambassador, well, the president has the ability to replace ambassadors, you know, regardless. That's and certainly was replaced by somebody who everybody thought, Ambassador Taylor, everybody thought was of extremely high quality and was one of the people that testified as well. So, you know, maybe that you have to discount. And then you kind of go through those kinds of things. And so that's where a lot of people want to try to suggest that, yes, this is a test for Senate Republicans, assuming, again, that the House actually passes the articles of impeachment, which probably will, that it's a test for Senate Republicans. But on the other hand, if the Senate Republicans put up enough evidence that counters the Democrats' narrative, then, you know, basically they say, well, look, we really can't convict on the impeachment articles because the evidence really isn't there, that it's too much based on supposition, second and third hand information. And so that's basically their line of argument.
Well, let's look a little more on evidence with Steve in Wales with thoughts on this. Steve, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, the point I was going to make is the professor earlier made the point that he didn't think the American people could sort of understand, grasp, appreciate the importance of obstruction of Congress and that whole concept. It's too nuanced. But I think I think he's wrong. I think that the American people can grasp that. I think it's a direct route to removing this president, because I don't think there's any doubt that whereas maybe there's doubt in other things, it's hard for me to grasp the concept of any doubt on the obstruction of Congress charge. So.
And Tim Hagel, let's revisit that for a moment. You know, Steve saying we can get this, you know, separation of powers. We got this.
Yeah. And I didn't get to finish that point as we broke for news, that basically the idea here is that they have the opportunity to, they being Congress, Democrats in Congress, had the opportunity to subpoena some witnesses. They didn't do so. The ones that they did subpoena were refused to testify. And, you know, the thing is that if you're going to be accused of things, you're going to put up a defense. And so it would seem that it has to be something more than that, just putting up a defense to charges that you think are bogus, witch hunt, as Trump usually refers to them, that it has to be something more than it to be really considered not only obstruction of Congress, but something that's an impeachable offense. Now, as far as the caller's point in terms of whether this is something that people can understand, what I'm referring to mainly are the folks that aren't paying attention to politics 24/7, folks like me, or even folks like the caller who's going to be willing to call into a show like this is paying closer attention to that kind of thing. And so it's a matter of that sort of great folks in the middle that aren't sort of partisans on one side or the other, that, yeah, they pay some attention to politics, but it's not their be-all and end-all. And for them, that may not be something that's entirely clear. And again, that's just basically what the Democrats have to do, is to basically make that case. And, of course, the Republicans will try to counter it.
Well, Tim Hagel, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa, where his research is on American politics and judicial politics and behavior. We've been talking about House Democrats moving ahead with two articles of impeachment against President Trump. We heard earlier at a news conference that just had concluded this hour, one being an abuse of power, the other being obstruction of Congress. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.